Good morning. Very, very glad that you're here, everyone that's here. We're very glad that you're here. And we say this quite often. We're glad, most of all, that the Holy Spirit is here. He promised that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be in the midst of us. So we know that the Lord is here, and that's what makes it worthwhile.
Amen.
You don't want to hear me often say, praying my own private prayers, Lord, my responsibility is to get the word at your mouth and give them warning from you to know.
Yes.
Not what I want them to know. I have no idea what to say to you. It has to be from the Lord. So it is warning that we give, is encouragement that we give, it is admonishment that we give, it's whatever it is that the Lord has, is what we give. All right? Now, we have been on a series of talking about the gospel. We're going to continue that. It seems like that's the vein that the Lord has put us in. And so today we're going to talk about believing the gospel. I had a message last Sunday about the relevant gospel being relevant, a relevant gospel. And it has to be relevant. It's timely and it's timeless. The same thing, we're reading a Bible that's a book that's written, and we're living our lives by a book that was written over 2,000 years ago and more. But it's still just as pertinent today as it ever was. The same issues that we're dealing with here in 2024, almost 25, are the same issues that they dealt with during Christ's time. It's a human problem. It's a human issue. And I was thinking about that one time when I went overseas for the first time. I may have shared this with you, but when I went overseas for the first time and I was going to be ministering, I thought, Lord, I don't know how to minister to the people here. This is what my own private thoughts were. They have a different culture. Things are so different there than they are here. And the Lord says, you're dealing with people. People are the same everywhere. Doesn't matter where they are. Doesn't matter what language they speak. They're having the same issues, the same problems. And oftentimes we think that the Bible was written in English, but it wasn't. And so we think that we as Americans have Americanized it. We feel like our responsibility is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is. But it's also their responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel wherever it is. So we don't have a monopoly on it. We have the privilege and opportunity to preach it, teach it, live it, as the Lord would have us to. I would like for us to turn to Mark the 16th chapter, and I want to start reading at the 9th verse, Mark 16, verse 9.
Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week.
Yes, Jesus was risen early the first day of the week.
He appeared first to Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Out of whom he had cast seven devils.
He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils.
And she went and told them
that had been with him
as they mourned
and wept. So they were concerned that Jesus had died. He'd been crucified, and now he'd been buried, and now it's the third day, and they're still in mourning. And, you know, we go through mourning, and mourning takes a little while sometimes. And I've seen people that have mourned and grieved for months. And so here they are. Here is someone that had such an impact on their life. He's gone now. And now what's happened is the third day, he told them, I'm going to come back. Now, what we want to understand, what we've talked about over the course of these last few weeks or last month or so that we've talked about the gospel is a story of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's a story of how he came down into this world, how he was born of a virgin, how he came down, how he lived, how he died, and how he rose again. That's the gospel story. And not only is that part of the gospel, that's the gospel story, but it's how it affects our lives. Every person on the face of this earth has been affected by the gospel message.
Yes.
Now, whether or not that's vicariously through someone else or whether that's directly, and I trust that what all of us have the opportunity today to trust the Lord, to depend upon the Lord, to accept the gospel message and believe the gospel message for ourselves personally. All right? Now, here's what has happened. So here is the disciples. Jesus has died. He's risen again, but they don't know it. All right. And so the first person that comes in was Mary Magdalene, whom he cast out seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him
as they mourned
and wept. When they heard that he was alive
and had
been seen of her, what did they do? Praise God. This is wonderful. You saw Jesus. Where is he? I want to go see him. They didn't say that, did they? They didn't believe it. They didn't believe her. So it's very important for us to understand that when the gospel is presented to us, the good story of Jesus Christ, we're to believe it. Now, are we to just open ourselves up to anybody and anything? But this is people that had some kind of connection with him. This woman had a connection with the Lord, and these disciples knew that she had a connection with the Lord. So what she was coming back and telling them, why did she have why would she tell a tall tale? Why would she lie to them? She didn't, did she? She had seen the Lord, and what did they do? They did not believe it. Do you know that there have been times in our own experience that we just did not believe it the way that we should have? I can say that for myself. The Lord presents something through somebody else, and I'm just, I don't know about that. I don't know if I see it quite the way that you're talking about it and the way that you see it. I don't know if I believe that. We've got to be very careful. One of the things that we have to do is make certain that we ourselves have a personal encounter with the Lord. All right, continue to read, please.
After that,
he appeared in another form unto two as they walked and went into the country.
And they went
and told it unto the residue.
Neither believed they them.
And what happened? Here's a people that have personal contact with the Lord. Mm-hmm. They knew these people that had personal contact with the Lord. And the Lord, I think he purposely did not appear to everybody at one time. I think he kind of broke it off a little bit and then broke it off a little bit and then had this in their mind that they say, no, I don't believe that. Sometimes things are so wonderful that it's just too good to be true and we can hardly believe it. Now, that may be some of the situation because you find in one, we won't turn to it, but we find in one place that the scripture says very plainly that they believe not for joy. They were so happy about, and Jesus was standing right there, and they were broiling fish, and he had come, and they were frightened, and then all of a sudden he said, it's me, handle me, feel the nail prints, and feel me, I'm not a spirit, and they believe not for joy. I understand that. I understand that this is so wonderful that I can hardly believe it. My mind can't take it in. So sometimes we have to ask the Lord, expand my mind so that I can take in what it is that you're trying to get over to me. Expand my mind. Help me to believe what it is that you're wanting me to believe. All right? This is the situation here. And so they said, and they told the residue, neither believed they them. They just didn't believe it. All right? Continue.
Afterwards,
he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them
with their
unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So you know what? Sometimes you want to make excuses for people. Jesus did not make excuses for people. He said, I gave you every opportunity to believe and you still chose not to. Do you realize that belief oftentimes is a choice? I can choose to believe or I can choose not to believe. I can choose to say, all right, this is right. And I'm going to believe it. And there are some times, and I've been in situations, where even when the Lord has dealt with me about a particular thing. Let's just say maybe moving and having to uproot my family and bring them to another place or something like that. And the Lord's talking to my heart. Do you know that there are times that you have to say, Lord, I'm not so sure that this makes a lot of sense. I remember the first time that the Lord told me I was working in real estate and I had an office that was set up and the Lord told me, all right, I want you to quit your job. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't quit my job. I have two children and a wife and my wife doesn't work. And the church is giving me $300 a month. I can't quit my job. But the Lord told me to do it. But I didn't believe that that was the logical. Do you believe? Does it sound logical to you?
No.
Does anybody would feel the same way that I felt? Yeah. Well, Lord, how can I support a family? And the Lord, you know what the Lord told me? Very plainly. Now, I know the most important thing that we can understand is having a personal relationship with the Lord. And what I want us to understand here, I don't want you to do what Brother Darrell says. I want you to have a personal relationship with the Lord where the God can talk to you and you can have this conversation with him. And then if Brother Darrell tells you something that's completely different from what the Lord tells you, which I trust I won't ever do that. But if I do, then you can follow and say, Lord, this is what you told me to do. I'm going to follow through with that. So here it is. I have a personal relationship with the Lord, and the Lord tells me, he says, all right, so I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with what the Lord is telling me to do, because we had a growing congregation, and as I would work with the congregation, my business would fail, and then as I worked with the business of trying to build it up, the congregation would suffer as a result of that. And the Lord says, you're not trusting. I said, Lord, how can I survive? And he says, you're not trusting them. You trust in me.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. And do you know what it was? What it took? It took me 6 months to do it. Why? Because I just almost couldn't believe taking in what the Lord was saying to me. Now, here's what I'm not telling anybody to do this. And I don't want you to do it unless you're very clear. The Lord tells you to do a particular thing. I don't want you to do it unless you're very clear that this is what the Lord told you to do. So I did it. And you know what happened? We never missed a payment. We never. My children didn't, you know, my children didn't, I don't know that they knew we were poor. Did y'all know we were poor? We got everything that we needed. The Lord, you can trust the Lord, all right? So what I'm saying here is belief is a choice. And sometimes you have to struggle with what you believe. And sometimes you have to ask the Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, as the father to the son did. Lord, I believe. There is a portion of me that wants to reach out and believe this. And then there's a portion of me that just... I just can't see it. And this is what was happening to the disciples here. So he goes here. Where did we stop out? Mark 16 and 15. All right. Do 14 again. After he appeared to the leaven, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Why? Because they would not believe. They did not believe. They believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. All right.
And he said
unto them,
Go ye into all the world
and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So there's two things that we have to understand. One of the responsibilities, and we dealt with this a little bit in some of the things that we've talked about thus far. Two of the things that we've dealt with already is that it's a responsibility of us to go out and preach. That's the commission. It's not an option. So as we are here, Brother Randall has a ministry out on the bike trail. He's one of those individuals that there are a few of them, at least two of them in this, or a few of them in this congregation that know no strangers. It seems like it's almost easy for them to go up to a stranger and talk to them. Well, you know what? Part of our preaching to the world is just not the world. I don't have to go to India or Africa or across the waters. I can just go across the street. I can shine my light. I can preach the gospel by what I do, how I live, what I say is affecting somebody else. Do you realize that what we do, and because we are saved and we're living for the Lord, then we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Somebody is watching our lives. Somebody is seeing what we're doing, and somebody is making up in their mind whether or not they want to follow you because of what you're doing. Have you ever heard somebody say, you've heard me say this oftentimes, have you heard somebody say, well, they're supposed to be a Christian? What does that mean? That means that the actions that person is doing is not Christian-like. So we've got to be careful about that. We've got to be careful that what the Bible says, our lives are consistent with that. So what we have to do is, he says, we go into all the world, and what do? We preach the gospel. How do we preach the gospel? How do we do that? We preach the gospel with our lives, sometimes with our words, but always with our lives. The light is never off. We never dim the light because it's so dark in here and nobody wants this and nobody is interested in living the way that I'm living. So I'm going to hide my candle, my light under a bushel. No, we don't do that. We put it on a candlestick. Yes, I'm a little different than everybody around here. Yes, everybody is laughing at me and saying, Mr. Straight or Mr. Square or whatever they want to call me. That's beside the point. The point is, my commission is that I have to preach the gospel to the world. And sometimes the gospel is preached without words.
That's right.
Just in the way that we live. And sometimes that's far more effective than the words that we say. You don't have to go around telling people, well, I'm a Christian. Well, they already know you're a Christian if you're living right.
That's right.
They know it's something different. They may not quite understand what it is so different about that sister or that brother or whatever. They may not know what it is, but they know that there is something different about it. And then when the opportunity comes and you say to them, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I knew it was something about you. I knew it. I just couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I suspected it. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to be. That's preaching the gospel. Now, here it is that you have some people that believe that And so our responsibility is to preach to them and preach it in a convincing way. So I get up here and I talk to you. You know, part of the things that we do, we tell stories, right? We tell what God has done for us. We tell how the Lord has made a difference in our lives when I preach. And this is what I do here, right? And so it is not our responsibility to make the person believe. It is their responsibility to believe, right? And so he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. All right. So there's two options that I have. And he that believes not. Okay. So there's two kind of ways. There's two options that I have that a person has. We're talking about believing the gospel. I can believe the gospel and I can live by this belief in the gospel that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came. He lived a sin-free life. He gave his blood was shed for the remission of my sins. He didn't do anything wrong, but I did something wrong. And his blood was shed for the remission of my sins. I believe that. And there is something about when I believe that, that's the gospel message. When I believe that and I ask the Lord to come into my heart and reign there, something happens. Yes. It's something that I don't know, I cannot explain, but something happens when I believe it.
Yes.
And I believe that Jesus can save me from my sins, not in them, but save me from my sins. And when I believe that, he does that, and now I can live a righteous and a holy life right here among the, in this hog pen. I don't have to get dirty.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful? So here's my choices. Here's everybody's choices. You can believe or you believe not.
Yes.
One of the two. All right, so that's what the scripture says. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So there's a consequence. And so here, there's a reward. Here's a reward. And here's a consequence, right? And so all of us have that, and all of us understand it, and all of us know it. It's just really simple. So what am I going to do? I'm going to make certain I'm going to get insurance. You know we have insurance, right? You have insurance on your car? Why?
Just in case.
You know what? I don't know. It has probably been 20 years. I think I've only had one accident. I've been with Geico for 25 years. I've had one accident when I got on the freeway and the car stopped in front of me as I was merging and picking up speed. And there was no way to get off. Do you suppose my insurance has gone down, though, since in that time? It has not, has it? But why do I have it? I've never used it. I've not used it in 20-something years, probably. Probably more than that. I haven't used it. But when I do need it, it's there. And in the same way, what I want to make certain of, I use the assurance that I have in Jesus. I use it every day. And then if I die today, I can get to go to heaven. That's wonderful. There's nothing more wonderful than that. That I have to pay for it. Not really. Jesus paid for it. He really did. All right. And all I had to do is just submit to it. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's the best decision I've ever made. I know that. All right. Let's go a little farther here. Let's go to Acts 26. This 26th chapter. And I want to start at the 12th verse. Acts 26, verse 12. Yeah. This is Paul. Paul speaking about his encounter with the Lord. No, he's telling King Agrippa, and he's been in prison, and now he's having to give his own defense. And so he's telling them here, the 26th verse, he says, Whereupon,
as I went to Damascus with authority and
permission,
uh-huh, the chief priest,
all right,
at midday, O king,
I saw in the way a light from heaven,
above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me,
and them which journey with me.
And when he was all fallen
to the earth,
I heard a voice speaking unto me,
and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
And I said,
Who art thou, Lord? And he said,
I am Jesus.
Whom thou persecutest. But arise.
Stand upon thy feet.
For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen,
and of those things in which I will appear unto thee,
delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee,
to open,
to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, you see what this is? When we get saved, this is Paul. This is Paul who wrote a good portion of the New Testament. When Paul got saved, God had a purpose for him immediately.
Yeah.
All right, so there is no such thing as, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Have you asked him? The Lord had a purpose for Paul. And the Lord wanted very specifically, he allowed all the things that happened in Paul's life, they culminated to him meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, let me tell you what's happened before. Paul was a very religious person. He was a religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was one that knew all about the law. And he was one that was zealous for the law. He was zealous for the Jewish religion and all of this. And so God said, I can take that zeal that you were for there, and I can turn it into what I want it to be. All right? Now, some of us are very zealous for certain things. We have ambition, and there's nothing wrong with ambition. I want to tell you that there's nothing wrong with having a level of ambition, because God makes us that way. If every one of us was just laid back and had no ambition, we wouldn't get anything done. So there would be some that the Lord gives some of us. The Lord gives all of us some ambition. There's not a person here that the Lord doesn't give some level of ambition. And we need to understand that and know that, all right? But here's what I want us to understand. I want us to understand that the Lord talked to Paul when Paul was going to get in the saints. He dealt with him. And what does it mean when we say, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks? What does that mean? So God talks to us while we're...
Yes.
Acting out.
Yeah. Have you ever not had fun because God spoke to your heart? Yeah. I say this oftentimes. You know, part of the problem is that I didn't go in another direction in my early life was because of, I had a praying mother, and I had saints that were praying for me. And when I started, when I looked in that direction, tried to look towards Sodom, wherever I was looking in the wrong direction, the Lord would prick my heart.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go in that way. And then he'd show me something over here that if you go that way, this is what's going to happen to you. Lord did that. Lord is faithful to do that to us. And some of us just ride over it anyway. And some of us just don't believe. We're of those that don't believe, and there are consequences to our unbelief. There are consequences to things that we decide that I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to go in another direction. We got to be very careful about that. I have been in those kinds of places as well that I've said to myself that I want to go in another direction. And the Lord His mercy. Yes. The Lord in his mercy reached down, grabbed me by the nape of the neck and pulled me back. I thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. All right. So here is Paul that has the Lord personally appears to him. He's a man that when the gospel was presented and he heard it presented by other people, Stephen being one of them, he heard it presented by other people. He did not believe. He was one that did not believe. But the Lord was merciful to him. The Lord appeared to him on his own, and he had a personal revelation. And the first thing that he says to, O King Agrippa, I saw the light.
It says 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. All right. So I want to go back up a little bit. Oh, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. So in other words, he's saying, you know better, Paul. You know better than what you're doing. And I don't know why you keep kicking and fighting me, because you know it's going to be easier for you to submit to what the Lord is saying. It's going to be much easier for you to do it. But he said, but arise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou has already seen. Now, not just what he's looking at now, but the things that you've already seen. You have a long history of seeing what the Lord has done for his people, all right? The things which you have seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So in other words, what's going to happen? Right now, the Lord says, I'm going to deliver you. Do you know if the Lord gives you an understanding of what he's going to do, the Lord's going to do that particular thing. If he says that he's going to deliver you from the Gentiles and from the people have no ability to do anything that God does not give them the right or the right to do. The Lord has to allow them to do it in order for them to be able to do anything to you.
Amen.
So I look at it like this. Sometimes I need to be encouraged that way. Yeah. Sometimes I need to be encouraged by the fact that the Lord is not going to let anybody do anything to me that he himself has not already sanctioned. And if he sanctioned it, then that means I need it. I needed that particular thing, whatever it is. If it's even, if it goes in opposition of the way that I want it to go, I still needed it. Can you say that? Lord, help us.
Lord.
All right. So, now Paul, what does he say here? Let's drop down to he said to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus. And now, what was he going to Damascus for? What was he going to Damascus for? He was going to Damascus to get some folks and kill them. He was a terrorist. He was an individual who did not like the Christians, and he was going to do everything that he could to eliminate them. But he says, first person he preached to was the ones that he came to kill. But it showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent. And that's the gospel message, isn't it? That they should repent
and turn to God
and do works meet for repentance. Now, Paul could not do that until he had first had an encounter with the Lord. And in the same way, we can't do it until we first have an encounter with the Lord as well.
Amen.
I need an encounter with the Lord. I need to know. I need to meet the Lord personally. And if you haven't done that today, we can help you. We can lead you to that. I think it's very important for us. And I think particularly in our generation, people are not just going to do things because somebody tells them to do it. I think that's kind of what the problem we've had over the course of many years, that, well, this is what the saints teach, so this is what I have to do because this is what the saints teach. But we need to know why. We need to have a clear understanding. We need to have a clear understanding that this is something that the Lord requires, not something that that Brother Darrell requires or the church requires. This is something that the Lord requires you to live a holy and a righteous life.
Yes.
No matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what your status in life is, the Lord requires you to live a holy and a righteous life. And that's not something that the church requires. It's something that God himself requires.
Yes.
All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. And I want to start at the 22nd verse, John 6. 20, I'm not going to hold you long today.
John 6:22. The day following,
yes,
when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw,
yes,
that there was none other boat there,
yes,
save the one whereunto his disciples were entered,
uh-huh,
and that Jesus went not with his disciples.
Jesus wasn't with his disciple into the boat,
but that his disciples were gone.
But that his disciple was gone away alone.
Howbeit there came other boats
from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread.
After that
the Lord had given thanks. All right.
When the people therefore saw
that Jesus was not there,
neither his disciples,
they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus.
And when they had found him
on the other side of the sea, they said unto him,
Rabbi,
when did you come here? All right, now let's stop there for a moment because I want to give us the background of what's happening. Now, prior to this, the little boy had the basket of fish and a few breads, and the Lord gave thanks for it, and then he told him to sit down and break it and give it to him. Now, you know, if the Lord put his hand on some bread and some fish, that's going to be some good bread and fish. All right. I don't know what kind of seasonings he put into it, but it was good. And I'm going to tell you why it was good. It was good, number one, because the Lord put his hands on it. And number two, it was good because these people came back the next day looking for some more of it. Have you ever been to a restaurant that's just really good and you want to go back again? We do. We have, haven't we? That was really good. The food we ate not too terribly long ago was just really delicious, and we want to go back and have a little bit more. And not only that, but let's just say it like this. It was free. So you know what? We just had Thanksgiving, and I know y'all had some really good food, and we had some really good food. And what we did is we took, my wife went to her brother's house, and my wife took bought these little to-go things, you know, little containers to go. She bought them before we left. Why? Because we had anticipated there was going to be good enough food for us to bring back home, all right? And so we did. And I ate on that probably, I had about 3 meals left after Thanksgiving that I could eat on. And that's wonderful. And you know what? It was free. I didn't have to pay for it. It was almost like she stayed a couple of days. Let me tell my story. All right. She stayed a couple more days and I had to come back home. And I was thinking, well, bring me some more of that crab or bring me some more of that whatever. It was some good food there. And this is what's happening here. I'm trying to make it where we can understand what's going on here. This is what's happening with Jesus, that there was some good food. And the people came here and they said, where is he? Because really, I bought a little fish here and I bought a little bread here. I want to see what he can do with that. And he wasn't around. And so what did they do? They got on the ship and what did they do? Let's go. And when the people,
they had found him on the other side of the sea.
They went on the other side of the sea. Yes. When did you come here? We were expecting you to be over on the other side. And Jesus answered them and said,
verily,
verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and you were filled. So he was saying, you didn't come here for the spiritual benefit to it. You came here for the temporal benefit. You ate of those loaves. The Lord could speak to the people's hearts. We may have thought that they came because it was the miracles that the Lord performed. No, it wasn't the miracle. It was the fact that you ate good food and you wanted to come back and get some more. So the Lord talked to them and told them exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it. All right. Sometimes, why are we saying this? Sometimes we can follow the Lord for the wrong reasons. We can follow the Lord because everybody around us, it's the common and popular thing to do for us to be a Christian. And so we want everybody to know that we're a Christian. And not only that, but we want the blessings of the Lord. We don't want the blesser. We want the blessings. Lord, help us. But our desire should be, Lord, I not only want your blessings, but I want you. I want a personal encounter with you. I want to know who you are. I need you. I need you. Yes. And then when I have the Lord and the Lord is in me and I'm in him, then I can have everything that I want. Anytime I need food, I can have that. It doesn't matter. I want us to understand that we're looking for the Lord and we're having to believe the gospel story of who Jesus really is and why he's there. We've got to believe that.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
All right. All right. Just continue to read, please.
Labor not for the meat
which perisheth,
but
for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life,
which the Son of Man shall give unto you,
for him as the Father said. So the Lord gives him a clear understanding. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. We got to work. Yes, we got to go to work, but that's not what's important. What's important is that which lasts forever. All right? All right, read.
Then said they
unto him,
What shall we do
that we might work the works of God?
Jesus answered
and said unto them,
This is
the work of God,
that ye
believe on him whom he hath sent.
They said therefore unto him,
yes,
what sign showest thou that we may see and believe?
Yes.
What dost thou work?
All right.
Our fathers did eat manna in the
All right, let's stop there because I there's a point that I just want to make in the 29th verse. It says, this is the work of God. This is Jesus speaking here. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So the whole essence, we're talking about believing the gospel. So the whole essence of the work of God is not us going out and, oh, we're going to do a Sunday school drive and we're going to do this. That's not the work of God. The work of God is that you believe. So our job as saints of God is to get people to believe the gospel message.
Amen.
It's to present, thank you. It's to present it in such a way, to present the message, the gospel message in such a way that it's easy for people to believe it, to live it in such a way that it's easy for people to believe that if that brother can do it and I know what his background is, then I know I can do it too. if that brother, I know his personality is a little different than maybe some other people's personality, but if he can do it, I can do it too. And so our responsibility, really, if we're going to say what is it that we're to do as men and women of God, as saints of God, our responsibility is to make certain. Our responsibility is to make certain that the Lord, lost my thought. Our responsibility is to present the gospel in a way that others can believe it.
Amen.
That's the point.
Yes.
That we are living proof, as you say, living proof that God can change a man and make a man where he once was a sinner into something else.
Amen.
Into a saint.
Yes.
And not only that, but for us to continue in that. I'm going to read a few other scriptures and then we'll be closing, Lord willing. I want to go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and I want to read the 8th verse.
Romans 10 and 8.
Yes.
But what saith it?
But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith.
Which we preach.
Which we preach.
That
if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus,
and shall believe,
this is how, this is the gospel message, and this is how you obtain salvation. It's really a simple process. Sometimes we want to make it complicated that we got to go someplace and we got to meet with somebody and we got to bow down on our knees and we got to just cry and all of these other kind of things. The gospel message is simple, and the way for us to obtain it is just simple. It is just that I simply believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And that he rose from the dead.
Yes.
And that now I'm making that confession in my heart, and I'm asking, here it is. Read it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt do what? You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Didn't say that if you come to church on Sunday and you go up to the altar and you pray with Brother Daryl and you pray with Brother Randall and you pray with some other folks. Now, sometimes we do have to labor in prayer, but it's a simple process.
Yes.
And I don't want to complicate it. And I don't want anyone else to complicate it. That I'm just confessing my sin. Yes, I sinned. I didn't do right. I stole the cookies. I lied. I did whatever it is that I did. Now I'm repenting of that. I'm laying it all down, Lord, and I'm giving it to you. And now all I want you to do is come into my heart. I'm confessing where I'm wrong. Sometimes we need to confess because we need to understand that we're that bad. Now, I was one of those individuals that wasn't that bad as a child, but I was bad enough. I knew what kind of a person I was, and I knew that I wasn't doing right, and God saved me, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
All right. So it says, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. This is the gospel message. You confess the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. Now we're talking about believing the gospel. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I think we need to make a way that whether people get saved here at our church or whether they get saved on the street or wherever they get saved, it doesn't matter, that we teach them, we show them how to get saved, how to live for the Lord, how to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not about me and you, and it's not about them coming to our church. We love for them to come to our church. That's one of the points. But it's a side issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want them to have a place to come home to. We don't want them to feel unwelcome or be wandering around in the wilderness. We want them to come home to something. And this is why it's so important for us. Number one, by this shall you know that you're my disciples. Why? You have love one for another.
Amen.
And you know when people come here and they look at us and they see us, can they tell us that we love each other? Can they tell that we love each other? They should be able to tell that we love each other. They should be able to tell that these people, not only do they love each other, but they love their Lord.
Amen.
And that's what I want us to understand, and I want us to get a hold of. May the Lord help us. I trust that you got a hold of this. The whole point is believe the gospel. It's well worth it. I mean, we're closer to eternity than we think. I don't know how close we are. I could get there today. Really, we're there. I look at it in this way. The one thing that's holding us back from eternity, there's only one thing that's holding us back, and it's time. When I look out the universe, and the universe is a type of eternity. It is, goes on and on and on and on forever. And the only thing that's keeping us from going out there is this little thing that's holding us down, this little sphere that we live in called Earth and life. So I want to say this. If you're not saved today, it's a good opportunity. I don't want you to feel bad about it. I don't want you to feel disappointed. I want you to understand that all you have to do is believe the gospel. Pray for me.